Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Bump and Stacy
on Seattle Sports Station.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union. Streaming through the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Rost.
Here we go now.
All right, big week ahead for the Seahawks as they look to stop a losing streak, back-to-back losses against Tampa. And then the Raiders, let's see if they can get right against a struggling Rams team. Joining us now to help preview this one, it's NFL analyst Robert Turbin on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. Turbo, when you look at the Rams this year, this team is really, really struggling. Is there anything they still do well?
Well, it's hard to look at their team right now and, really decipher the things that they do good. They've just been decimated by injuries. And really, they're the biggest surprise, in the NFL this year. I think a lot of us expected them to at least be competitive, if not one of the best teams in the NFC. But they seem to obviously have taken a fall this year. The one consistent, thing about a part of their team is, how about number 45, Bobby Wagner? I mean, he's played every single snap this season for the Los Angeles Rams. He's been the one available player for them, aside from maybe Jalen Ramsey, on that entire team. And, you talk about a guy who's in his 11th season, just the consistency of him as a player, obviously long time Seattle Seahawk. That's probably the one highlight that I can see with their football team right now.
Turbo.
What's up with it?
You take the kids to see Wakanda Forever yet?
You already know.
All right, just checking.
You already know. Had to. Had a couple haters in the house. My son wanted the regular Black Panther. I had to get him. He's six. I had to get him to understand, hey, listen, he ain't here right now, okay? It's a different movement, okay? But you can tell that they're going to come out with another one with the way that one ended, and it looks like it's going to be his son. So, hopefully my son will enjoy a third Black Panther whenever it comes out.
See, there's not only does Robert Turbin do NFL analysis, he is a movie critic as well. So we appreciate that, bro. Let's talk about the Seattle Seahawks, man. The run game has been hurting, and I think it's been a combination. I think it's been a combination of the offensive line not playing great and then Ken Walker trying to do too much at times, but it's hard when you have a defensive lineman sitting right there waiting for you. When you get the rock, how does this team get back to what we saw 3 weeks ago when it comes to running the rock?
Well, I think that Ken Walker, he needs more carries. Last couple of games, I think he's been around 14 or 15. Last week, I think he had 14 carries. The week before against Tampa Bay, I think he had 10. And so, like to get him. I like that sweet spot number around 18 at least, and really 25 at the max. And yeah, you don't want to be giving a young player like that 25 carries per game. But you certainly want to hit that 18 to 21, carries mark throughout a football game. And that just helps you be able to find your pace, kind of decipher what the defense is trying to do against you to stop you. It even helps the offensive line really get into a rhythm of, how they're getting a push, how defensive linemen are playing, playing even them on the opposite side of the ball and, be able to gain some confidence as it pertains to run blocking, within those schemes. And so, it's tough as a young player. The first carry you get, you go for six, right? And so, you almost expect that to happen all the time. But, the reality is it's not. It's really hard to run the football in the NFL. But you just have to be able to, have that consistency and not run away from it, when it's not going. One of the things that we used to get taught a lot when I was playing was, hey, listen, you may not get those big gains early in the game, but just stay with it. Trust what you're seeing and believe eventually those holes are going to open up for you, and they will.
We've been talking a lot about whether or not players are going to hit a rookie wall, and at least when it comes to your offensive line, you got two rookies on either tackle spot. Do you remember if during your rookie season, or do you remember talking to any other players who felt like they started to feel, like they were just tired and they were hitting that wall around week 13?
Yeah, I mean, the wall is different for everybody. I believe that the rookie wall really is kind of like a gradual thing, right? Like early in the season, you show up to the facility at 6 a.m. in the morning, and, you know, then you get to the midway mark and you start showing up at like 6:15, 6:20, and, you know, maybe towards the end of the season it goes like 6:30. And, you know, whether that's right or wrong, it's just a, you know, it's just a natural, you know, progression of the body. Sometimes you feel like you need more rest. Instead of showing up 10 minutes early to a meeting, you start showing up two or three, you know, and that's part of what the wall is. But it's really the vets that kind of help you along to keep you going. But it's tough for the tackles because, I mean, you know, those are two of the hardest positions to play in the NFL. And each and every week, you know, if you're not ready to play at those tackle positions, you're going to get exposed. Some of the best athletes in all of the NFL play the defensive end position. You know, it's one of the top three most important positions in football: quarterback, tackle, and then defensive end. So, you know, you're playing against the best of the best each and every week. Can certainly get tough as the season goes along.
Turbo, I think I know the answer to this question, but I'm going to ask you anyway. As an NFL player, do you ever look at a team's record, look at film, and say, "Oh, easy, we got this"?
Well, you can look at, you know, certain teams and you know, look at matchups that you're going to have and feel confident in your ability to win. You know, there were always linebackers and things like that, you know, front seven fronts that we would go up against and say, man, you know, we really feel confident about our ability to run the football this week. Or, oh, I know this guy can't guard me. If I got to get out on an option route, I'm winning this one-on-one matchup each and every time. So there's certainly a confidence there, but you don't underestimate anybody. Everybody comes to play each and every week.
We've seen a version of the Seahawks defense that was like top five for a period of time in limiting scoring and limiting yardage. And then we've seen a version of the Seahawks defense that have really, really struggled. What do you think the reality is for where this group is right now?
Well, you know, that's a really good question, Stace, because like you mentioned, they've really been up and down throughout the season, kind of started slow, then got going. And then, you know, last couple games haven't really, you know, seen what we've wanted to see out of them, especially within their run defense. So, you know, to me, that sounds like a middle-of-the-road kind of team right now, a team that is, you know, visibly young. You know, it seemed like we're kind of overcoming that youth at some points throughout the season. But, you know, over the last couple games, it's really started to show itself, you know, and that's okay. That leaves us room to grow and be able to continue to improve, to work ourselves to be one of those top defenses in all of the NFL. So right now, you know, we're obviously not a bad defense. I would say we're middle of the road with the ability to be able to trend up at some point.
Turbo, what did you see out of the defense last week that allowed Josh Jacobs to have the type of day that he had?
Man, you know, just some disciplinary issues up front, you know, not being in the right gaps consistently. I would say that's number one. I would say number two, you know, listen, technique was a big part of it. You know, I thought a lot of times we were taking on blocks with our shoulders and not using our hands. You know, when you use your hands, it allows you to be able to get off blocks a lot quicker, right? If you use your shoulders, it allows offensive blockers to be able to then capture you, and it's much tougher to get off those blocks and make a play. So those are the top two things. And at the end of the day, number three, I would just say, listen, you know, it comes down to matchups. And, you know, there were just points throughout that football game where, you know, the Raiders just beat us one-on-one in those matchups. And that's certainly something that we have to improve on for the rest of the season.
Let's talk about the rest of the NFC playoff picture. I don't think they're catching up to the Eagles or Vikings. Do you think that there's a chance that they catch up to the 49ers? They'll need help, but Turbo, I guess what I'm really asking is, do you think that maybe outside of one, two teams, the Seahawks could take on anyone?
Well, I think the Seahawks can compete with anybody in the NFC, you know, if I'm being truthful about it. Even if you talk about, you know, the Eagles of the world, the Vikings of the world, you can get beat on any given Sunday. Now, you know, on paper, are we as good as those teams? Probably not. But you can certainly scheme up and game plan. And listen, you got to go out there and play the game at the end of the day. You know, I think the 49ers are the, you know, the under the radar kind of scary team in the NFC. They had a slow start to the season and they seem to be coming on the last two games. Now, they haven't really beat anybody as far as from a record standpoint with winning records over the last few weeks. So that's a little bit of a question mark to me. You know, who are they really, right? I think the big test for them is going to come this week when they square up against the Miami Dolphins, right? They get to go up against a top team in the NFL. They haven't really done that over the last 3 or 4 weeks. Everybody they've been playing is under 500. So, you know, we can give the 49ers praise all we want, but where have they really been challenged? And last week they only won 13-0, right? So, you know, against a team under 500. So, you know, every team in the NFL is good, don't get me wrong. But still, you know, like if you're a dominant team, you want to be dominating teams. And we haven't seen that from the 49ers, you know, consistently over the course of this season. So, but I still think they're a dangerous team. But I think the Seahawks can compete with anybody. We just got to shore up our run defense. That's the reality of it.
Yeah.
Turbo, we started the show with a question. Are all wins equal? We're looking at the Seahawks team, and we see the Rams and their struggles, right? 3-8, missing a whole bunch of guys. And is a win good enough, or do you think that the Hawks have to go out there and smack these dudes?
You know what? That's a good question, Bub, and it's an interesting way to look at it. I think a win is a win at the end of the day. Even an ugly win can spark a team and, you know, put them on a run to where, you know, they can win, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 games in a row. I don't think they necessarily have to go down to Los Angeles and win by, you know, 21 points or something like that for them to be able to feel confident in themselves as a team. I still think the Seahawks are confident right now. Obviously, they're coming off a tough loss, but it's about how you respond to adversity. And if you go down there and you go to L.A. and you win by 3 points, well, damn, man, that's a win. And that's a big-time win at the end of the day.
All right, I want to take a quick look while we got you here for a few minutes around the rest of the NFL. Turbo, have we talked to you already about Zach Wilson's comments in New York? We spent like 2 or 3 days going over that entire saga. What did you think of that?
Yeah, we talked about it a little bit. And listen, you know, at the end of the day, you know, his role as a starting quarterback for the New York Jets is likely done. You know, Mike White came in, he stepped in, he did his thing. He was confident. The team rallied around him. You didn't see, you know, I'll give you an example. When Matt Ryan got benched in Indianapolis for Sam Ehlinger, I think is how you pronounce his last name, Matt Ryan, you know, still had his headset on, you know, still clapping, still high-fiving guys, you know, all of the things. We even saw that from Jimmy G a little bit with the 49ers when they went with Trey Lance, right? You see Zach Wilson hood on, not talking to anybody, you know, isolating himself. And listen, that just paints the picture for you for, you know, what kind of teammate he is right now. You know, certainly somebody who he needs to go through that maturation process a little longer. I'm not saying he's a bad guy or anything like that. He just needs more growth. But I think the Jets at this point are going to move on. And, you know, if I'm a guy in that locker room, you know, I'm not necessarily rooting for one guy or the other, but I certainly want a leader, you know, at the quarterback position, somebody that we can lean on and rally around. And it sounds like they've found that in Mike White. I think, you know, I think Coach Saleh made the right decision right there.
Turbo, the Seahawks beat the Rams if they do what?
They run the football, stop the run. To put it in layman terms, we got to get K-9 going again. We got to get him back going in the run game. Be able to use Geno, you know, in the play-action pass scheme and things like that. And then on the flip side, listen, we know that they're hurting on offense. Matthew Stafford is out. Cooper Kupp is out. Allen Robinson is out. They released their top running back earlier a few weeks ago, Henderson. He's gone. I think he's in Jacksonville now. So, you know, if you look at all of those things, it's certainly advantage Seahawks, but we still got to stick to the basics. And right now, the basics for us is being able to run the football on a consistent basis and stop it on a consistent basis on the opposite side. And the one thing that I would add to that, too, is being able to keep drives moving by converting on third down. We didn't do a good job of that last week against the Raiders.
Now, Turbo, two things. Number one, hilarious to hear you making fun of Bumps Cougs on the postgame show. I laughed. I texted Bump immediately, and I said, Turbo's killing me right now. Secondly,
hold on, Turbo. Y'all team won last week. Utah State won.
No, that's enough. That's not important right
Utah
now.
State
that's not
won?
Important right now.
Secondly, yeah, it's all good, yeah, man. Exactly. Y'all going to a bowl game or what?
Yeah, we going. L.A. Bowl,
oh,
baby, December 17th.
No, I know. Just kidding. Secondly, Turbo, not football, well, not American football related. Are you waking up tomorrow at 7 a.m. to watch Team USA take on Netherlands?
The 7 a.m. tomorrow?
That means no.
What's tomorrow?
No.
Hey, you know what? Since you said something, okay, Stacey, I'm going to get up. I'm going to go ahead and get up and watch it. You know what I'm saying?
Turbo,
I'm
going to
go ahead.
I'm not gonna getting up.
Hey, not. I'm going to get up and watch it. I'm going to see what's happening, you know. I'm going to go ahead and check them out because I haven't seen any of the action so far.
Turbo.
Let me be a supportive American and see what's up.
That's exactly what I said. They were like, you're not waking up. I was like, no, I will. Watch. So now you and I are just going to have to like be like, no, we definitely woke up to watch this game. Like, we absolutely did.
Right. Now, it might be watching me for a little bit, but, yeah, I'm going to get up and at least turn it on, okay?
All right. He's NFL analyst Robert Turbin. You can hear him on the Seahawks pre- and post-game show this Sunday. Thanks, Turbo.
Turbo.
All right. Appreciate y'all.
See ya.
Hey, my man said, I'm going to check it out. I'm going to turn it on.
We are in the presence of liars.
I told you, I am waking up. I am waking up. I am watching this game.
Not,
yes,
Stacey.
I am. Why don't you believe me? It's 7 a.m. It's not
on
like
a Saturday.
7 a.m.
You're
is not
never
like
up
4 a.m.
before 10 a.m.
That's
on
a lie.
No,
that is
not
a lie.
That is fact. Not
I wake
a
up
lie.
At least 9:30.
Half hour before?
At least.
God.
At least. It's a Snoqualmie Casino Football Friday on Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app. Get into some hot stove talk with Shannon Dreyer coming up in 15. Before we get to that, let's get to headline rewrites.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
Headline rewrites.
We must make headlines.
The real story behind the headlines in today's news with Bump and Stacey.
Headline number one, the Kraken won their seventh straight thanks to Matty Beniers, who had a breakaway goal in overtime just 7 seconds in. What's the real headline?
I don't know yet if the Kraken are for real, but Matty Beniers sure is.
What you mean? You don't know
I know.
If they're for real.
Well, you know who might have changed my mind a little bit?
Who's that?
Greg Wyshynski.
Yeah.
ESPN NHL reporter who we had on about an hour ago. Check out his interview on the Bump and Stacey podcast. He's great. And Curtis, we interviewed him a bit last year. I don't know that he was, like, really high on the Kraken. I think he was comfortable
he
being
was
critical.
A little more realistic than anybody
That's,
else.
Yeah, he's a very pragmatic
to.
Person.
Yeah.
Even he sounds pretty bought into how good they could be. He thinks that there's still a gap between Boston and some of the best teams and then where Seattle is. But it sounds like he's seen enough as an NHL expert to think, like, nah, I think they got a good shot.
I'm bought in. I'm getting a sweater. And a hat.
Yeah?
Yep.
You don't have a sweater already?
I don't.
Some fan you
You've
are.
You got a hat, I think.
I got a hat.
Yeah.
I need more, though. Never enough hat. Have enough hats.
Headline rewrites.
I feel like we should move from Teal Tuesday to like a Kraken.
Seafoam Saturday.
Well, we don't work on Saturday. So we need like a, I don't know, I need to think of something clever.
Maddie Mondays.
But celebrates Matty Beniers, but we don't have to have a Matty Beniers jersey.
It's an association with the Kraken.
I get it. No, that was quick. I like that. What's next?
Any good Kraken player really throws a wrench into my theory of not buying a jersey.
Right.
You are out. So if you guys don't know, Curtis has a rule. First of all, Bump, you don't wear jerseys.
Nah.
Bump doesn't wear jerseys
Only
at all.
Kobe.
Completely understandable. Curtis does not wear jerseys of anyone younger than him.
Uh-huh.
Which is maybe the most arbitrary jersey rule I've heard. I've heard people that are like, either I don't wear them or I do.
Or like, if they don't play with my team anymore, I don't wear them.
Right.
Yeah. No, anybody that's younger than me, I will not wear their jersey. But with the Kraken being as young as they are and have zero history in the NHL,
what are you
gonna
do?
Isn't really anybody. I get like a Jordan Eberle jersey.
You could get
I think Philip Grubauer is older than me.
You could get a hockey sweater without any specific number on it. That's what I have.
That's true. I could do that.
Yeah.
I might
recommend.
Have to do that. Headline number two, USC and Utah meeting tonight for the Pac-12 championship game in Las Vegas, which I believe you can hear right here on Seattle Sports Station. What's the real headline?
Real headline is really just one for Huskies fans. We're rooting for the Trojans.
Everyone should be rooting for the Trojans.
Yeah.
You want the Trojans to be in the college football playoff to represent the Pac-12. Huskies, yes, you want them to win, so you get into the Rose Bowl. Root for the Trojans. I'm just mad that I'm not there, because I'm supposed to be there for this game.
But now you have time with your family, Bob.
Who are sick. Stay away from me. I'm be in my office all weekend. The wife is sick. Little Michael's sick. Kobe's sick. Jada's sick. And then they want to sit around and watch me, and I look at my reels and stuff and breathe all over me.
You just slowly move away from
me. I'm like, y'all.
Get away from me.
You just feel like bacteria right now.
That's so harsh. Let's see. Who do you think wins this one? You think that it's USC's win anyway.
SC,
Heisman favorite.
SC's supposed to win this. Yeah. But Utah, they're a disciplined team. Good tight end play. Cam Rising is so up and down. You never know what type of quarterback player you're going to get out of them. But they have. I think Utah is the only loss SC has this year. They gotta be careful with that.
All right, next up.
Headline rewrites.
Headline number three. How about some soccer with your breakfast tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. United States taking on Netherlands in the World Cup knockout play. What's the real headline?
We better not see any stroop waffle on your plate. We've decided there are a couple things we're against this week. One, windmills and wind power. Two, anything Dutch. Three, I don't know. IKEA, Scandinavia, no, but I'm throwing it in there.
Sweden.
You know what?
It's not the Netherlands.
You can get caught in the crosshairs. It just happens. Sometimes it happens.
Wake up, grab a brush, put on a little makeup, okay? And you watch your USA team. Somebody texted in, I'm sorry, but who cares about USA soccer?
Wow.
A lot of people. A lot of folks. All right. Even if you don't
World Cup's
like
the most
soccer,
watched sporting event
it's
in the world.
It's the biggest sporting event in all the land. So, yeah, show up.
Can I say this to the 206? It was the 206 who texted that in. For whoever texted that in.
206.
I am not the biggest soccer fan. It's okay. It happens. I did not watch it a ton growing up, and it is harder to watch things when you got to, like, sidebar, look stuff up sometimes. Like, why did they do that? Why was that offsides? It is easy to get into these games.
Mm-hmm.
It is. You will watch it reluctantly. It'll be just like with the Thursday night football games we complain about on Prime, when it's like, who wants to watch Broncos Colts? Who's watching this? Who's watching this? Right, you're watching it. You're tweeting about it. You're like, this game's unwatchable.
Well, it's competition, too.
Exactly.
You bragging rights. Over all your Dutch friends, if the United States win,
yeah, that's right.
Dutch friends.
Text them all. Yeah. Do we have any Dutch friends?
Brock Heward.
Oh yeah, perfect.
Yeah,
perfect.
Taylor Jacobs.
Two Dutch people.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow, that feels like a lot for one
too
office.
Too many. Yeah. Well, you got to figure something out.
Went to Amsterdam once. Does that count?
On a layover.
Layover. 3 hours though. 3 hours.
You can do a lot in 3 hours.
You know?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Anyways, I recommend watching it. I will be up watching it despite your guys' doubts, and I already know the two of you will be up watching it.
Text into the Mac and Jack's text line if you think Stacey's going to be up for that game.
Can you have a little more faith in me, please, listeners and Curtis? Okay, I'm a responsible person. I know that sometimes I show up to work late. I know that sometimes, you know, I don't wake up at the earliest time of the day. However, did I ever miss a homework assignment in college or high school?
Yes.
Probably.
Yes,
I did. No, I did.
For
but
sure.
But did I ever fail a class?
Yes.
I did. But I will find something, so help me God, and I will show you that I am a dedicated sports fan and a dedicated American, and I will be up at 7 a.m., and so will all of you, because if I have to wake up at this ungodly hour, then you do as well. And not only that, but when we come back, if USA wins, I think we need to start doing a little World Cup segment, Bump. You're a huge
Gladly.
Fan. Gladly. I know that you're waiting for it. I know you're watching this right now. Like, you're excited
watching
for it.
Brazil and Cameroon.
Let's fingers crossed that USA can advance, and then we'll plan for that on Monday.
Let's
fingers crossed. This hour of Bump and Stacey is brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. Shannon Dreyer joins us next for a little hot stove talk. Don't go anywhere.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Bump and Stacey.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
Joining us now in the Emerald Queen Casino, let's get to hot stove talk with Shannon Dreyer. Shannon, how's it going?
It's going. How are you guys?
We are well. As a reminder for you guys, our conversation with Mariners insider Shannon Dreher is powered by Pacific Lamp and Supply. Shannon, we've seen some rumors so far on where Mitch Haniger could land, with the Rangers being the latest team to reportedly have some interest. No matter what, do you see the Mariners and Mitch separating this offseason?
Yeah, I think the writing is on the wall with that. I think that, you know, both sides wanted him to go out, experience free agency, and see what is out there. I think the Mariners had a very definite idea of where they would be if they were to bring him back, at what number of years and at what number of dollars. And I think Mitch had ideas of his own, and I think it's going to play out in his favor in this free agent market.
Hi, Shannon.
Hey, Bump.
Bump likes to say hi, too.
Yeah, because I'm like...
I take it every
time.
I'm
like the stepbrother, and Stacey just... She takes all the greetings and stuff.
Yep,
so
yep, yep.
I like to say hi.
Yeah.
So we've listened to DePoto speak sometime this week. He was on the morning show, and it sounds like they're being cautious and not as reckless as Mariners fans would like them to be during the offseason when it comes to signing talent. I'm convinced that that's his poker face, that they're going to try to do, try to make more splashes and get aggressive. What's your feeling so far with their approach to this offseason?
Well, I think what Jerry said on his show yesterday on Brock and Salk was basically he was explaining. He was asked about the process, about how they weigh free agents and how they weigh trade and how that comes into play in the big picture. And I think the thing that gets missed and what Jerry was trying to get across there was the big picture for them isn't just 1 year. It's 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the road. And he was illustrating that point right there. At no time did I hear him say they absolutely were not going to do something. Now, that said, I don't know what their ability to get a big free agent done. And when I'm talking about that, I'm talking about Judge and the four shortstops. Do I think Aaron Judge is coming to Seattle? No. Would I be happy if he did? Sure. I'd love to be wrong on that one. But, you know, we'll use a little bit of common sense here that nothing seems to be pointing in that direction. You get to the four shortstops. How many of them actually want to come to Seattle? And how long do you think those contracts are going to be? And I think that maybe there is a little bit of cold feet in a couple because of the years that are involved in the contract. 8, 9, 10 years on pitcher on players that are around the age 30 is not something that they are going to want to do. They've never done that. So I would imagine that that comes into play a little bit too. But I kind of think that where they are in the off season right now, they have a good idea of what Jerry likes to say is accessible to them. And a lot goes into that. That goes into what they are willing to spend, what the market is, if that free agent even wants to come to Seattle. And I think they probably assessed all of that. And going into the off season, it's a long shot that you get any of these players, any of these top tier players. There's a lot of competition for them, but no, they're not going to go out there and say, hey, come back to us and we'll give you $50 million more in another year. They're not going to do that. That's not good for them. They see in their long term. And that doesn't mean that they can't get done what they want to get done in the short term. I think that they have been able to, you know, illustrate that. You get to the end of last offseason, everybody's disappointed. No Marcus Semien, no Chris Bryant. Well, they were able to put something together that was able to get to the postseason and get to the division series. One step ahead of, I think, where if you started the year, people had their expectations, their return to contention. You know, they went two rounds into it, and that is a good starting point. So, you know, they've got plans B, they've got plan C, and there are a lot of different ways that you can put a good ball club together. It does not have to be with a superstar.
There are also some guys that they're still going to have from more recent trades. Obviously, Eugenio Suarez is going to be here, who was fantastic for them. Do you see them having Jesse Winker as one of their outfielders next year?
I don't think he's a good fit right now. I think they'll make, you know, the attempts that they can to trade him. And they never like to have that DH spot taken up by one player. And I think that primarily will be Winker if he is on this team next year. So I think that, you know, that is something that they are exploring. But I also caution, and they've been saying, you know, a lot of good things about Jesse. And of course, you're not going to say bad things about him when you are trying to trade him. But they had a lot of belief in who this player was. They put in a lot of research. They went through all the numbers, all the scouting and everything. And the guy that they got was not the guy that they saw before. And I think there is a belief that the guy that they saw before is in there. And so it wouldn't be, I think, in their mind, the worst thing if he was back and if he was healthy and if he was able to get back to his career numbers. And they did point out, and correctly, he was not used in the way that they envisioned, or I think Jesse envisioned. He's not a guy, he wasn't a straight platoon player, but he got a good amount of days off against the lefties. That didn't happen. And I think they were expecting, and he was expecting, more DH days. I think they had an idea of what he was, and I know he has an idea of what he is in left field. But he was kind of forced to play out there quite a bit. And I think that if he was dealing with injuries, hurt him a little bit. And also the fact that he was out there, it's not, I think, a position where you want to have him, but he had to play there because of other injuries, I think, more than anticipated. So if he's on the roster, I think that that is because, well, A, they couldn't trade him, but I think there is still a belief in the talent that is there.
Shannon, is there anyone in the farm system that the Mariners are excited about and that the M's fans should be excited about as well?
Oh, yeah. If you're talking about players that we could see this year,
I
think that when you look at what they did with the 40-man roster ahead of the Rule 5 protection, you saw some things kind of come into focus. Prelander Baroa is somebody who was traded. Trying to think of who he was, Donnie Walton. From the Giants, and he was picked up, and Donnie Walton was not a high price to give for a pitcher, yet this pitcher took off in Double A, and I think there is some optimism that he can be a starter, and if he can be a starter, he could be an impact starter, and if he can't, I think he could very much, he's got a big fastball, big slider, be one, a huge impact in the bullpen. Isaiah Campbell was drafted as a starter, had all sorts of injury problems. They moved him to the bullpen last year in Double A, and he put up great numbers, great stuff. And I think that your bullpen has a chance to look very different next year through additions, not just the one that they just added and got, but what they have in the minors. And I think you were talking about some kind of high ceiling arms back of the bullpen stuff, maybe not right away, but those arms are coming. And I think there was, you kind of ran out of those last year. So I think that is very exciting there. You go further down in the farm system, Harry Ford, a lot of excitement in what he can be. And then also, I wouldn't call it excitement, but perhaps optimism and curiosity and something that could help them out at some point this season is when Evan White got healthy for a short time last year. He was hitting, they liked what he saw, and he's got the versatility to play in the outfield as well. So, perhaps there could be a little bit of insurance there and certainly a curiosity to see if, A, he can stay healthy, and, B, if he can continue to hit.
All right. She is Mariners insider Shannon Dreher, kind enough to join us for a little Mariners hot stove talk here. Shannon, thanks so much.
You got it.
All right. It is a Snoqualmie Casino Football Friday on Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app. And we are going to take a look around the NFL. We've got some injury updates and previews for some of the most anticipated games outside of Seattle happening in Week 13. That's next.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Bump and Stacy,
powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
Taking a quick look around the NFL, also some injury updates for fantasy football players. So let's get started. I don't think many people had Matthew Stafford starting this weekend, given that we all knew that he probably wouldn't play.
Somebody did.
Someone did? What do you mean?
Guarantee you someone had him starting.
Well, someone wasn't paying close enough attention.
Guaranteed.
Had Matthews. That person is the one in your league who's given up and just leaves all his players in, like has three people out on a bye week and doesn't change them, and everyone gets mad.
Everyone gets hot.
Brandon told me there's someone in his league that's doing that, and they're going to vote to kick him out.
Yeah.
Chaos.
You should. I did on accident 1 week. And the text messages I got,
people get heated.
Yeah.
It's funny because you think that people would like the automatic win, but people get really mad if you just kind of give up midseason.
Mm-hmm.
John Wofford will start for the Rams. That confirmed earlier this afternoon. Now, it was between him and Bryce Perkins. John Wofford has come in and played pretty well against Seattle before. Does that change anything you expect from this game?
No.
Yeah, I didn't think
Still
so.
Get it done. Get her done.
All right. Well, one of the most anticipated games of the weekend, Miami and San Francisco. The former 49ers offensive coordinator, Mike McDaniel, candidate for head coach of the year, and his Dolphins will take on the San Francisco 49ers. 49ers offense, phenomenal. Defense, phenomenal. But they're going to get a big challenge against a team that has, like, Pro Bowl front runners at wide receiver. Tua's been playing really well. What do you see from Miami? What do you expect in this one?
You got the number three offense in Miami versus the number one defense in San Francisco. So I'm expecting a battle. Here's the thing. I'm expecting some big plays, some yards after the catch, some yiggity-yak, some Hennessy in my cup. You know what I'm saying? I'm expecting some big plays. Now I'm waiting to see if Debo is going to be active. He's battling some injuries right now. He's a game time decision. That affects the game a little bit, but I'm expecting a good one. We need the Dolphins to take care of business.
Mm-hmm.
Hawks beat the Rams.
Yep.
7-5, 7-5. Niners have the tiebreaker, and
but
then we handle business after that.
I was going to say, but you also have control because the other game has yet to be played. So you still have more control than you think in that situation.
Yep.
Best case scenario, Miami wins, you win. Next up here, not Miami nor Seattle, but November Players of the Month announced. Patrick Mahomes of the Chiefs was the November Player of the Month at quarterback. He is a front runner right now for his second MVP bump. I don't see anyone catching up.
I don't either. Surprise, surprise, Mahomes, Player of the Month. Player of the year, player of the last 4 or 5 years, you can honestly say that. 29 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. This guy is he's special. He is him, as the kids say. So now that's not cool anymore.
Yeah, no. See, you ruined it. Just now you ruined
I
it.
Did.
Anyone
Patrick
under
Mahomes.
Ooh.
See, now
that vibe's cool.
That's not bad. That
vibes.
I'm not mad at that. Where's Patrick Mahomes rank among the other day I asked you, like, who are some of the best players you've seen in person? Among all quarterbacks you've watched, never in person, broadcast, whatever, where does Mahomes rank?
He's top five for sure.
Who else is in the top five?
I got to go Mike Vick, obviously Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Lamar Jackson. Yeah, those guys.
Curtis, would you have somewhat same top five?
In terms of quarterbacks that I've seen in person...
Either.
Or just
I'm thinking
of
like
time.
Of quarterbacks that you have watched play.
Yeah,
when
Mahomes
you were left thinking like this
pretty
guy.
Undeniable.
Yeah.
I actually have seen Patrick Mahomes play in person. It was the Super Bowl. Yeah, he's squarely in the top five. Lamar Jackson, that MVP year, they played in Seattle that year.
Uh-huh.
And he was a lightning bolt for sure.
That's when they went for it on fourth down.
It was.
Yeah. Let's go for it, coach.
That was Earl's first and only game back in Seattle.
Yeah.
I'm going to
add not to top five all time. It's not what I'm doing. But most impressive in person was back close around his MVP season, seeing Cam Newton here. Mm. It was less about like, oh, wow, he's got, you know, he can be unstoppable like Michael Vick or Patrick Mahomes or Brady or whatever. And it was more just like, I'm sitting in the press box watching this person who looks like he is bigger than every other player on the field. You know what I mean? It was like, if I were him, I would simply run over people. It was jarring to see just like when he was at his peak.
Yeah.
He could physically take over a game.
For sure.
All right, next up here, speaking of Lamar Jackson, good news for Ravens fans or for people who just want the Broncos to keep losing. Lamar Jackson was a full participant in practice for the Ravens. Why does it matter for Seattle? They're playing the Broncos this weekend. You want Lamar Jackson healthy, and you want Baltimore to beat the Broncos so that your draft pick climbs even higher.
Yep. Come on, Lamar. Do what you do. Denver Broncos, you keep doing what you've been doing, and all is well.
Losing, which is losing. Do you see the Broncos bouncing back next season?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
I do. I think with a full off season, guys getting healthy, I cannot see Russell Wilson playing this poorly two years in a row. I just can't see that.
No, it's very weird. Ja'Marr Chase is on track. He was dealing with a hip injury. He's on track to return for the Bengals this weekend against the Chiefs. It'll be a great matchup. Bump, you earlier said that of the two Super Bowl teams or just of like a lot of the front runners in the AFC and NFC, you doubted whether or not the Bengals could get it done. Early in the season, you were right on. The Bengals really, really struggled. Joe Burrow was struggling, started off with their ugliest game of the season in week one. They've had some improvements since then. They lost Ja'Marr Chase for a while, but he's coming back. Where do you see the Bengals and the powers that be in the AFC right now?
They looking more better, I'll tell you that. They got the Chiefs this weekend. That's going to be an L. You got Cleveland, Tampa Bay, and New England. I think they can win 3 games in a row and end up 10-5 before they play Buffalo and Baltimore. And then you just look at their division. It's between them and the Ravens, obviously. They have proven me wrong. I thought that they weren't going to be able to do it, but they're getting it done. Just want to point out, Cameroon just went up 1-0 against Brazil. That'll be a big upset there. In extra time. Goodness gracious.
Oh, I forgot. It was Bump's goal. What did I call it?
Golazo.
No.
Goal patrol?
Goal patrol.
Patrol.
Oh, Paw Patrol.
Bump on Goal Patrol.
Golazo Camarón.
Right. Last story here in NFL headlines. We're looking at Washington and the New York Giants. Defensive end Chase Young will be a game-time decision for the Commanders in their game against the Giants. Curtis, you pointed out that the Commanders' defense has been better than we thought this year. They're going to need to be pretty good. Taking on the Giants, important. One of those teams is going to knock the other out of a playoff spot if Seattle wins.
Yeah, Washington, all of a sudden, I mean, what, they got out to such a slow start, but they've rattled off quite a bit in a row, and they're still awaiting the return of Chase Young, so a good defense could get even better once Young returns. All of a sudden, I mean, you got to pay more attention to Washington. I think it kind of also coincides with Taylor Heinicke getting the starting job over Carson Wentz.
I completely agree. Bump, I heard someone say that the Giants and the Seahawks are two really similar teams. I feel like that's a little unfair. I've got way more faith in the Seahawks roster. Am I being biased?
Nah, you're not. Let's just start at the quarterback spot. Who you want? Danny Dimes?
Geno.
Or Geno?
Geno.
Enough said.
Yeah.
Wide receivers,
DK and Tyler.
Yeah.
End.
Running back?
End of story.
Okay.
I'll take Saquon.
All right.
I'll take Saquon. All right. It's a Snoqualmie Casino Football Friday on Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app. We are going to talk Seahawks and talk some of the biggest stories in the NFL with a former NFL veteran. Will Blackman joins us next.